refer to this as an annual rehearsal of his, God's plan. No matter how long or how well we know it already. We know the material, don't we? We know the material. We've been here. It's always interesting to me to see those who remain standing as we get to 30 years. Seems like over the last few years, those numbers are increasing significantly. As we get to 40 years, as we get to 50 years, they get larger and larger. And it means that we've been receiving those opening night messages 30, 40, 50 years. How many sermonettes and sermons have we heard? We've learned a lot, haven't we? We've learned a lot over the years. We've had a wonderful blessing to have God call us to the knowledge of his truth, to be able to be here, to attend the Feast of Tabernacles, to learn a lot. An important question for us, though, is what are we doing with what we're learning? What are we doing with what we're learning? Mr. Walker, in the opening message, said that we will have lectures and lab sessions. Mr. Deininger yesterday in the sermonette focused a significant part of it on the lectures, on the fact that we need to get points out of every message and talk about it. Talked about the lectures. I today want to focus a little bit of time over the next few minutes on the lab session, on the importance of the rehearsal, that we're here as a rehearsal, an annual rehearsal of God's plan. Colossians chapter 2, this was referred to earlier in the feast, but I'd like to turn to it. Colossians chapter 2. My wife is a wedding planner. She's a florist and a wedding planner. There are lots of things that go into planning a wedding. You know, they begin with what they call a wedding consult, where the bride and parents usually come in and they have a form and a series of questions that they go through. And there are facilities to coordinate and food to coordinate. And there's dresses to talk about and tuxes and flowers and cake and music, all the things that are involved in a wedding. There are a lot of things that go into the planning of a wedding. Those things can all be in their proper order. They can all be coordinated. But without a proper rehearsal, the wedding will be disorganized and ill-prepared. And we're here to rehearse. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16 says, "Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding the festival," or a festival, the margin there says, "feast days," or "a new moon," or "Sabbaths," which, verse 17, are a shadow of things to come. A shadow of things to come. These days are an annual rehearsal, aren't they? They're an annual rehearsal of God's plan. You know, rehearsal is defined as a practice session in preparation for a public appearance. A practice session in preparation, preparing. We're preparing for a wedding, aren't we? We're preparing for a wedding. Just as those brides come to my wife and they have a plan, they develop a plan and put together a plan for the wedding, we're preparing, we're in preparation for a wedding. Revelation chapter 19, we can read about that. Might ask you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 19, and we'll read a little bit about that wedding that we're preparing for. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9 says, "Then he said to me, write, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." We're preparing for that, aren't we? We're in preparation for that. We're rehearsing for that to be called, because it's blessed, it says. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's going to be a wedding supper, a marriage supper. You know, but before the wedding, again, is a time of rehearsal, a time of preparation, a time to practice. And that's what we're here doing. We're here practicing, preparing, rehearsing. Verse 5, we can go back up to verse 5 and pick up the story. It says, "Then I heard a voice came down from the throne saying, 'Praise our Lord, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great.' And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, 'Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns.'" Verse 7, "Let us be glad." Let us be glad. Let us rejoice. You know, we heard about rejoicing earlier in the feast, about the fact that we're commanded, we're here to rejoice, to have fun, that God's way is a way of enjoyment, of rejoicing, of fun. "Let us rejoice and let's be glad and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready." Has made herself ready. It's a responsibility that we have to prepare, isn't it? Preparing, practicing, rehearsing those things that we are learning here, that we have learned over these many years. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And we'll read some of those beautiful millennial scriptures that we read each year at the feast, that this stage, as you look at it, is designed to reflect. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9, a scripture that was read again earlier in the feast, and who knows, may very well be read again. Scriptures that we repeat year after year. You know, because remember, Mr. Kylo did say that no matter how well we know the material already, that we're here to rehearse. And so we repeat scriptures because, as I heard someone say one time, there just aren't any new ones. So we go out and we repeat the ones that they're here because they're so important, and God has us repeat them each year and talk about and rehearse. Verse 9 says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord." Full of the knowledge of the Lord. What a time that will be. What a wonderful time that will be. What's the result of that? What's the result of the earth being full of the knowledge of the Lord? Well, let's go back up to verse 6 and pick up the story. Because verse 6 says, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb." The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. "The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." A little child shall lead them. A time of peace and harmony on the earth. "The cow and the bear," verse 7, "shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den." What a wonderful time that will be, brethren, when that happens, won't it? You know, we look forward to that. We, you know, our children talk about having their special pets, a lion usually. We have a lot of lions up here. I think, what, 4 lions to 1 lamb? I even have lions on my tie. It's a special pet, you know, and we usually don't talk about wolves a whole lot or having a pet cow or cobra, but the lion will be, you know, a pet cat, perhaps. Be a wonderful time of harmony and peace on the earth, won't it? Because, you know, as verse 9 then says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for, because. The result is because the harmony and peace will come, because the earth will be full of the knowledge of God. It's not full today, is it, of the knowledge of God? We're here in a room with 1,100 others, you and I are. We're here with 1,100 people, a room that is full of the knowledge of the Lord. We've been here many years, practicing, preparing, rehearsing. A room that is full of the knowledge of the Lord. The result is wonderful, isn't it? The result is harmony and unity and rejoicing. It's our time to rehearse, to practice, to prepare those things that we're learning. We're here, brethren, at God's feast. God's Feast of Tabernacles, an annual rehearsal of God's plan.